You in our study of the Pachad Yitzchak, we're looking at Maimer Ches, and the Pachad Yitzchak asks the following question. We know that the name of something is indicative of its unique nature, rather than of what's common between that and other things. For example, we've mentioned in the past, in the name of the Maharal Prague, that the reason why the Mishnah at the beginning of Shabbos, Rebbe organized the Mishnah to reflect the unique aspect of Shabbos of Melechus Hotzah, which we say that that Melech is unique to Shabbos and it doesn't apply to Yontif, because Chazal wanted to choose a Melecha that indicates the unique nature, in this case of Shabbos, so too, in general, we could say that a name is indicative of a unique nature of something. If we take a look at the name Chanukah, which comes from the Lashon Chinuch, which Chinuch means to take something that's not ready and prepare it, the preparation, the designation, that's the process of Chinuch, to consecrate something. In the case of the Mizbeach, but whatever it means to designate something. And the name Chanukah is very interesting because at the face of it, there were so many different episodes and so many different dimensions of the Purkan, of the salvation and the redemption of Chanukah. Why of all these different dimensions, the name Chanukah was chosen? Apparently, that name reflects on something which is unique and specifies and designates Chanukah and indicates something of its essence. So that's what we want to study tonight. Come back to understand the word Chanukah, the word Chinuch, and how it applies to reveal and demonstrate that which is unique to the holiday of Chanukah. We're going to start our discussion with a pasuk in Yeshaya and a sugya in Chulin interpreting that pasuk. In Yeshaya Perek Tes, the Navi speaks about Davar, something Shalach Hashem B'Yakov, that God sort of visits upon Yaakov Avinu, V'Nafal B'Yisrael, and then, in a sense, it expands to all of Israel. And the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tzari Aleph interprets this pasuk as a reference to the parsha of Yaakov Avinu battling, as it were, with Sarah Shal Esav, with that mysterious man through the night. And when Yaakov Avinu finishes with that man, he's Tzola Al Yurecho. The Malach of Esav touches his Gidah Noshe, and as a result, Gidah Noshe becomes a prohibition in Isur for all generations, for Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara's language is Poshat Nofal. What is Nofal? Davar Shalach B'Yakov. What does Hashem visit upon Yaakov? Zeh HaGidah Noshe. That's the injury to the Gidah Noshe. V'Nofal B'Yisrael. The Sefer of that Pasuk said Poshat Isur B'Chol Yisrael, that the Isur Gidah Noshe expands to include all of Klal Yisrael. We start with Yaakov Avinu's experience, Al Kein Lo Yochal Gidah Noshe, but it reflects on all of Klal Yisrael. Poshat Isuro B'chol Yisrael. So the Pachad Yitzchak is troubled by the simple, straightforward pshat of this Gemara. Why do we need a gilui, some sort of revelation that this, and an emphasis that this Isur called Gidah Noshe was nispashet isur v'chol yisrael? I mean, that's true for every single isur. It doesn't seem to add anything to our understanding of the parasha of Yaakov Avinu and the isur gidah noshe to tell me that it was poshat v'chol yisrael. That's the question that we want to address. And the essence of the parasha here is tzolea al yurecho, which is in Perek Lamed Beis of Breishis, of Sefer Breishis. And after it says, Soleil Yurecho, it says, Al Kein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael Sgidah Noshe. So what's this new chiddush here in the Gemara Kulin derived from this pasuk in Yeshaya that Poshat Isur Ginanosh B'chol Yisrael? You could say that about every single Isur in the Torah. And in order to understand and appreciate the emphasis that's being conveyed to us here, that this Ginanosha is Mispashit B'chol Yisrael, we have to begin with a sugya at the beginning of Brachos. The Gemara says at the beginning of Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel with regard to the change, the name change of Avram to Avraham, Kore, if somebody comes along and he calls Avraham Avram and he leaves out the hey, over b'yesei, shenemar v'hoya shimcha Avraham. So the Gemara immediately raises the question about Sarei Menu, and then following that, we want to emphasize the question of the Gemara with regard to Yaakov Avinu. Elamiyata, should we say the same thing in the case of Yaakov? God changed the name of Yaakov to Yisrael. Is Hachinami, so too, if somebody were to call Yaakov Avinu Yaakov, would he therefore violate the essay because the Torah transformed Yaakov's name? Shiny Hassan, the Gemara answers that Yaakov is different than Avraham because Hassam Ahadre Kra. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch himself calls and addresses Yaakov by the name Yaakov. Apparently, therefore, we have to derive the conclusion that there's a fundamental difference between the name change of Avram in the case of Avraham, adding the hay, to the name change of Yaakov to Yisrael. In the case of Avraham, a new name is replacing the old name. In the case of Yaakov, an additional name is being added to Yaakov, not to replace and substitute for the original name Yaakov. The original name Yaakov is not undermined, but rather remains in place. There's an additional name of Yisrael. And we'd like to understand the deeper meaning to this distinction, this fundamental distinction between the two name changes in terms of Maisa Avos. You know, we always study Maisa Avos, Simul Abonim, and it seems to be very important that on the one hand, the old name Avram is completely undermined, completely voided, it's gone. But yet, in the case of Yaakov, the old name Yaakov still exists. And apparently, one dimension of Yaakov, which is going to be transferred over to his children, to his descendants, still exists despite the additional name of Yisrael. What is it about Yaakov that's reflected in Yaakov that is passed on through the generations? Sharsho Noutz Bimakoro Shalshinu Hashem Yaakov. There's something in Maisa Ovo Simon Labonim that's going to happen throughout the generations whose roots are anchored in this source here, back in the Torah, that the name Yaakov still remains Yaakov. And if we go back to the story of the name change of Yaakov, back into Sefer Bereishis, and the battle, the struggle between Yaakov and, in this case, Sarah Shalesov, we will get a grasp of Mirtz Hashem on why the name Yaakov continues to exist even beyond the name change. And the answer seems to be the following. With regard to Yaakov's battle against the Ish, Hanevak Imo Adalos HaShachar, the Pasuk says, Vayove Ka'ish Adalos HaShachar, it says that, and that's the source in the Torah for the change of the name Yaakov, that during the battle itself, if you notice, during the struggle, the wrestling match, if you will, between Yaakov and the Saro Shalesov, there is no name change. The name change, which reflects the success of Yaakov Avinu, is subsequent to the battle itself. Bishaito, in its moment, the success of Yaakov is not apparent. It doesn't, shall we say, surface. Only afterwards, the pasuk says, "Vayovo Yaakov Sholem," that Yaakov is still Sholem, he's complete, and he's perfect, and then the name change occurs. If we go back to the battle itself, apparently the Nitzachon was not a complete one. Yaakov did not really succeed in vanquishing his opponent in this wrestling match. It's what we call not Shleimut, but Ish Shleimut. So the battle in terms of the success of Yaakov is incomplete, and that's the name Yaakov. Yaakov itself is indicative of the incomplete nature of his of the success and the triumph against the Sar Shalesov. It's incomplete. And it's very fascinating that if you talk about Yaakov Avinu, you find that Yaakov Avinu, amongst all the Avos, is called Shalem. He's the one who's called the perfect one. Yaakov is called Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim by the Torah. He's the Ish Tam, Tam Yiloshon Shalem. And if you look at the battles that Avram and Yitzchak fight against their detractors and their enemies, we find that they succeed completely. They have an Yitzchak Shalem. Whereas Yaakov Avinu apparently doesn't have a complete successful Nitzachon. And this is a Tmiya Gdola, this is something that we ought to think about, that Dafka amongst the Sholem Sheba Avos, meaning Yaakov Avinu who's called the Sholem, we find a Nitzachon, a success which is built in Sholem, it's incomplete. Whereas with regard to the other Avos, who don't have that same status as Yaakov Avinu as being Sholem, nevertheless, their battles were complete. Avram, for example, vanquishes the Malachim at the time of the battle with Sodom and the four Malachim. We find that Yitzhak redigs the wells of his father despite the Plishtim, and other different counters and encounters and confrontations in the lives of Avram and Yitzchak, and those are complete nitzchonos. They are a complete success. The nitzchon of Yaakov Avinu, in and of itself, at the time of the milchama, at the time of the mavak, is incomplete. And that's odd when we think about the fact that of all the three of us, the one who's characteristically called Shalem is dafka the one whose nitzchon is incomplete. It's built in Shalem. And we want to find some sort of deeper meaning to this phenomenon. To begin to make some progress on this, and the unique but yet paradoxical nature of Yaakov's incomplete Nitzachon, let's review a concept that we have presented on many different occasions. It's really in the Pachad Yitzchak on Sukkos, and that is, with regard to the Seder Hishtalshalus of the Avos, with regard to the Avos as a body made up of three different Avos, we see that Yaakov Avinu plays the role of clinching a triangle, so to speak. And what does that mean? And why is that significance? If you take a look in the Pasuk in Koheles, the Pasuk says in the fourth parak of Koheles, Hachut HaMeshulash Lo B'Mehera Yinotek. And Chazal will see in the Chut HaMeshulash, the word Meshulash, which the Shorash of which is of course the Lashon Shalosh, the three, is a reference or an allusion to the three Avos. And at what point does this pasuk come to fruition? Achut hamishulash lo b'mehera yinotek. The answer is with Yaakov. And let's go through the three avos the way we've presented it in the past, as we said in Pachad Yitzchak on Sukkos. The role and the description, the status of Yaakov is very unique. Avram Avinu is called in the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Gimel Tchila Legerim. He begins a process of Gerus. Yitzchak is Kadosh Mirechem. Although Avram Avinu comes from idol worshippers, he himself, as an individual, Avram reaches the level of Gerus. Yitzchak is born already Kadosh Mirechem from his mother's womb. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, is Mitaso Shlema. And this is the Sifra in Vayikra Chavav, and it's also the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra. Yaakov Avinu Mitaso Shlema means that with regard to Yaakov Avinu, the progeny, the children, the Shvatim in this case, are all part of this perfected lineage of the Chut HaMeshulash. In other words, according to Chachamim, which we'll find in the Sifri, with regard to Yaakov Avinu, we find Loka Avraham Sheyotze Ben Yishmael. Avraham Avinu, as the first of the three Avos, is not doesn't have in the next generation perfection. He's got on the one hand Yishmael, on the other hand Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak Yotze Mimenu Esav. The process is to weed out those who are not Shaykh to Klal Yisrael. In the case of the children of Yitzchak, we have Yaakov and Esav. Esav is cut out. And then we have Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, as the third of the Avos, is Sholem. What does that mean? Sholem Itoso Shlema? It means that through Yaakov Avinu, this perfect chut, which is called Kedushas Ha'avos, becomes complete on the third level. And it means that from now on, in terms of the children, the generations, the offspring of Yaakov Avinu, we can apply the Pasuk of Koheles, Chut HaChut HaMeshulash Lo B'Mehera Yinotek. Which means that anyone who comes from Yaakov Avinu will never ever be cut off. He's part of Klal Yisrael. And that's inherent in his very birth. There's no choice in the matter. With regard to Avram and Yitzchak, we saw that we cut out Yishmael, we cut out Esav, but with regard to Yaakov, his mitoso shlema, his madrega, is the madrega that will block, that will prevent any nituk, lo b'meir yinotek, the chut of Knesset Yisrael, of Kedushas Yisrael, can never be cut. There's no offspring of Yaakov Avinu, whose mother is Jewish, who can ever cut himself off from being Jewish, from being part of the nation of Israel. With regard to Esau, for example, the Gemara says in Kiddush Yudches that his status is that of Yisrael Mumar. In other words, he's Yotzim in a Klal. But with regard to Yaakov V'Elech, meaning from Yaakov and on, we have a principle which is formulated by the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Dalet, namely Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechata, Yisrael Hu. A Jew, no matter how far he sways and deviates from the pattern of Torah mitzvahs, nevertheless, he cannot be Yotzim in a Klal. Anybody who, from the Jewish people, let's say, goes off the derech and he rebels, he cannot remove from himself the Shem Yisrael. That's what's unique about the Shem Yisrael. What happens is, as a result of the battle, of the struggle between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav, Yaakov gets the name Yisrael. And that name Yisrael is indicative of a certain darga, a certain level of shlemus of perfection of the entire process of Kedushas Ha'avos, or Avus, meaning every Av has his own Kedusha. The Avus, the Kedusha, the sanctity that typifies and characterizes Yaakov Avinu, is an Avus that doesn't tolerate any sort of Yotzim in a Klal. No one after Yaakov Avinu could be mafsid, could undermine the Shem Yisrael. And that is indicative of the Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu, of the Chut HaMeshulash, which through Yaakov Avinu is Lo Yinotek. It cannot be cut off. You can never cut the umbilical cord from your connection to the Jewish nation. However, and here's the paradox. In the wake of this Shlemus, we find Ishlemus. We have something incomplete. Meaning, this is not all 100% gain. There's gain, there's assets, but there's also major deficits here. Because as a result of this shlemus, of chut ha-meshulash b'meir lo yinotek, of the principle of Yisrael shechata af al pi shechata Yisrael hu, we have a very difficult situation. I'd call it a thorn or a thistle in the side of Knesset Yisrael, because we have now a reality of Mumar Yisrael. These are people who may even be self-hating Jews and enemies of the Jewish people, but they are part of the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation, by definition, could no longer claim perfection and completion, and Dafka, because, oddly enough, of the Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu. As a result of the Shlemus of, if not for the Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu, then we would say Yisrael Shechata Einu Yisrael. He would be like the case of Esav, who's a Mumar, and cuts himself from the Klal. But now, as a result of the Shlemus of Yaakov Avinu, the Chut HaBeira, the Yisrael Shechata Yisrael, who there's no Metzias in the world of Mumar Yisrael. Every Jew, no matter how far he goes, he could be an apostate, he could rebel against all the Mitzvot Torah, nevertheless, he is still part of the Jewish nation. He can never become an Eino Ben Bris. He's always a Ben Bris. And if that be the case, we have within Klal Yisrael an admixture of mumris, of all these mumarim, of all these people who reject our unique nationality, our unique chosenness. And therefore, as long as the phenomenon of mumris b'Yisrael exists, we do not have shleimus. What we have is a situation of Yaakov Avinu, which is not the Shlemus. Yaakov Avinu in his battle against Esav, in which his victory is a knapper victory. It's an incomplete victory. We have Yaakov Avinu, who is going to become the Chut HaMehera, and that's certainly a Takona Gdola, because we're no longer cutting out any of the offspring. But on the other hand, that Takona itself, paradoxically, is a Kilkul. And that kilkul symbolically is represented by the tkias kaf yirecho shel Yaakov, as the pasuk says, "Vayiga bekaf yerek Yaakov." What is, or the pasuk says, "Hutzolea al yirecho." What is this negia betkias kaf yirecho shel Yaakov at the time, at the moment of his battle against Sarah shel Esav? What it really is the reality, the new existence of a Klal Yisrael that's mixed with Mumrim, because the Mumrim will be part of Klal Yisrael. We'll take a look at the Bracious Rabbah on the Pasuk Vayar Ki Lo Yuchal Lo, when the Sar Shel Esav realizes that he cannot succeed in defeating Yaakov Avinu. Vayar Ki Lo Yuchal Lo, says the Chazal in Bracious Rabbah, Hainu Shenoga Bitzadikim Bitzidkonios She'asidim Lotzeis Mimenu Bidoro Shel Shmad. The success here of Esav is that although Lo Yuchalo, he cannot defeat Yaakov, meaning there will be all the efforts on the part of the descendants of Esav to persecute the Jews religiously and cause them to violate their religion. That's called Shas Hashmad. All those attempts with regard to the Tzadikim Tzidkonios will be unsuccessful. Yaakov remains steadfast. Nevertheless, although there are those tzaddikim and tzidkonios that are omeid b'nisyonos, they successfully overcome all these trials and tribulations, all these challenges to try to get the Jew to violate his religion. Nevertheless, there is tkias kaf hayerech. The Sar Shel Esav does succeed and triumphs over Yaakov Avinu to some extent, and that expresses itself in the Tzoleal Yerecho, and therefore the success or the victory of Yaakov in this battle is only such, it's only partially complete. There's a shiur, there's some leftover, some part of this Nitzachon which was not successful, and those are the Jews that are not being Omei B'Nisayon. That means those are the Jews who face the challenge of Shmad, of Lavurei Aldas, of a Nisayon, and they fail. They become Mumrim, in effect, because they're Maver Aldas. And in a sense, these are the Jews that will assimilate to other religions. The Yerech, which is Tkua of Yaakov Avinu, however, says the Pasuk, is Ad Ki Zarchalo Hashemesh. The Pasuk says, and if you take a look at Rashi on the Pasuk in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Ad Ki Zarchalo Hashemesh means that ultimately us, at the end of time, at the time of Mashiach, is then will be Vayavo Yaakov Sholem. He will be free of this injury. He will be healed of this injury of Yarchot, of the Yerech Tkua. And at that point, no one of our enemies will be successful with all their efforts to be menatek the chut hamishulash. Because again, that we said is Yaakov Sholei means is chut hamishulash lo yinatek. In other words, the madrega of Yaakov Avinu will reach its shleimus without any built in shleimus, without any imperfection, that's a double negative, at the time of Mashiach, of Kizarcha lo Hashemesh. That's when it will be a fulfillment of Yaakov Sholem and of Chut HaMeshulash lo Yinotek. So the Shleimus of Yaakov, which blocks any sort of nituk, of cutting it off, that's going to come to fruition at the time of Uz, at the moment of Kizarcha Olav Hashemesh, Kizarcha Lo Hashemesh. He says, Lo Tehei Od Grama, Sheimatsu B'toch HaMachne Halalu Shemes Atznim Lenatek Sakev. They won't find any success in trying to be Menatek, to try to cut the umbilical cord and cut out certain Jews from the Jewish nation. And since the source of the name Yisrael that was given to Yaakov Avinu is the success over Saro Shal Esav, who struggled with him, and therefore Yisrael, that name Yisrael indicates Afal Pishachata Yisrael, who, that is the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu when he becomes the Sholem Sheba Avos. But that's going to happen at a later period of time, again, as we said before, not during the Nitzachon. During the Nitzachon is Yaakov. He's Takua B'Yarcho. It's an incomplete Nitzachon. It's only subsequently he becomes Sholem, and that becoming Sholem, says Rashi, is identified with Zarcha Lo Hashemesh, which is at a later time in history. So during this period of time, before Yaakov becomes Sholem, in the context of Yaakov as an incomplete triumph over Esav when he's Takua B'Yarcho, It's impossible for the name Yisrael to obliterate or undermine the name Yaakov, because Yaakov indicates this incompleteness, and Yisrael could only overtake or replace Yaakov Avinu, just like in Avraham, the name Avraham replaced Avram, only at the time of Zarcha Lo Hashemesh in the future. The name Yisrael is granted, is bestowed upon Yaakov Avinu al Shem HaAsid, the ultimate, and now the roots are being laid down at this point in time when Yaakov gets the name Yisrael, but the development of those roots, the growth of those roots into a full-blown tree, into a perfect Yaakov, that's only going to happen later on. And therefore, when the Gemara says in Brach Sahadre Kroli Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still calls Yaakov by the name Yaakov, it means until the sun rises, when we're in a state of an incomplete triumph, when the Yerech of Yaakov is Tkua, it's impossible for the name Yaakov to be Nekar B'mekomo, to be completely undermined. And this, I think, is what the Chachamim mean when they emphasize that the Gid Anosha Nafal B'Yisrael Nispashet Isura B'chol Yisrael. The emphasis here is on B'chol Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Dafka, not part of Yisrael. And the Chiddush here is that even though the Isur of Gid Anosha, which reflects the Yerech Tkua in the body of Yaakov Avinu, and according to Chazal, that Yerech Tkua is representative symbolically of those Jews who are part of the nation of Israel, because Afal Pi Shechata, but nevertheless, it's the Yerech Tkua, these are the ones who are preventing the name Yisrael from coming to fruition. These are the ones who are still considered Yaakov Avinu. They are the ones who are the cause of Ahadre Krol Yaakov, that the Torah is not going to bestow the name Yisrael as a replacement of the name Yaakov. The name Yaakov still remains for Yaakov Avinu. And even though these Jews who are preventing the name Yisrael from coming to fruition, that's not nogea just to them. You know, you would think that, okay, that's their problem. But no, the Metzius is that what they do and what they prevent is relevant to all of Klal Yisrael. When we say the Gid Anosha Poshad Isura B'chol Yisrael, the Poshad Isura of the Yerech Tkua is symbolically representative of those Jews who are Mumrim, and Poshad B'chol Yisrael, the entire nation of Israel is impacted, is, shall we say, brought to a lower level because of these members of Klal Yisrael, we cannot be a perfect nation. It's a Hadri Kroli Yaakov. We cannot be crowned with the name Yisrael, which indicates an essence which is only going to happen at the end of time, you know, with the Zrichas HaShemesh, but until now, it's the Iser of Gid HaNoshe, which is not just limited to those who create that barrier, but impacts and has repercussions on the entire nation, is Pashet Isur B'chol Yisrael. And we don't have the name Yisrael now. We're stuck with the name Yaakov, which indicates the Yerech Tkua, the incomplete success, the Yeshua with a shear to it, in which Klal Yisrael now has to suffer because of those members, Nebuchadnezzar, their people, those sons of Israel who are rebellious and rise up against us. And now within the context of the very first, historically the very first Gzeirah Shmat, in which our enemies tried to persecute us religiously to force us to give up our dedication to the religion, that becomes historically the pulmus, the confrontation between Yavon and Klal Yisrael. And this is at the root the Chiddush that we find in Golus Yavon. The Chiddush of Golus Yavon is that it's the first time that we have something called Misyavnim. We don't find, for example, in Mitzrayim, something called Mismatzrim, you know, Jews who became part of the Egyptian culture. With Bavel, we don't find Misbalvelim, people who are Jews who became part of Bavel. And we don't find that with regard to any of the Golios. In Ashur, we don't find Misashrim. We find here something unique with the case of Yavon, the Misyavnim. The Misyavnim were the ones who gave the most power. They were probably the ones who first came to battle against the Chashmonaim, against Klal Yisrael. They gave the Eitzes to our enemies, the Yavonim, which Jewish institutions to attack. These were the Misyavnim. The Gemara says at the end of Sukkah that there were many Takanos with regard to the Beis HaMikdash and the Chiluke Mishmaros, which were instituted because of these Misyavnim. And everything that happened to them and to their children is a Simon, which comes under the halach of Maisa of a Simul Abanim, which means the Gzeirah Shmat on the Banim is really a result of what Maisa, that's a Simon, it's a Simul Abanim, but that's a result of which Maisa Avos, the Maisa of Vayavek Ish Imo. That, as we said before, Vayavek Ish Imo, Vayakilo Yuchalo, means that there will be Jews who will succumb at a Gzeirah Shmad and become part of the Misyavnim. And therefore we have here in this Parsha Vayovek Ish Imo and Vayiga B'Kaf Yerech Yaakov the source or the root of the Maisa Avos to the Misyavnim in all the generations. And the Tzara of the Misyavnim Eitzel Abanim, meaning in Maisa Avos Simul Abanim, is not just limited to one particular time in Jewish history. It began with the Misyavnim at the time of Yavon, but it continues to plague us throughout our long, bitter Golos. Tzaras HaMisyavnim Eitzel Abanim Simonahi B'maisov Shel Tzlias Yaakov Al Yirecho. The Tzara of the Misyavnim of Jews who fight up, rebel against God and fight against the Jewish people themselves, that is the Simon Labanim that began with the Maisa Avos of Yaakov limping because of his injury that was brought upon him from the sorrow Shel Esav. And from this we learn that when we talk about the Purkan Yavon, the salvation from Yavon, we're really talking about two different dimensions. Number one, the termination of the actual decrees, the religious persecution of the Yavonim, but also Hashem saved us from the koch of the Misyavnim. And here, we have something very important, because the Purkan from the Gzeros of Yavon means that the Tzara of those Gzeros was completely null and void. It came to a termination. But the Purkan from the power of Misyavnim, we don't say that Purkan means the total end and the termination, the Bittul of all the Tzaras of the Misyavnim. The koch of the Misyavnim will reappear throughout Jewish history to plague us. HaMisyavnim lo nismatlu klal. And therefore, the long-stretched arm of the Misyavnim, those self-hating Jews that will rise up against us, and you and I can apply that to many different situations in the history of Klal Yisrael, that Yad, that arm that rises in all generations against us, reflects every single generation of it that it is. So then what is the Purkan that took place at the time of the Chashmonaim? Of course, we freed ourselves of the control of the Yevanim, but what else did we get in terms of the Misyavnim? To what extent can we call Hanukkah a Purkan, a salvation against not the Xeros of Yavin, that for sure it was, but even against the Misyavnim, the Koach and the Misyavnim? And the answer is, says the Pachad Yitzchak, that within the context of the struggle of the Chashmonaim against our enemies, against the Misyavdin and the Yevanim, Nischadshu v'nisgalu kocho shel shmir v'agona, new powers and new methods of protecting us against the Misyavnim were engendered. And those kochos of a strong conviction to stand up against all trials and tribulations that came about as a result of the success of the tzaddikim and tzidkonius at the time of the Gzeir Shmad of the Yevanim. Those kochos, those powers of hagana, of defense, of shmira, will be passed on from the Chashmonaim period as a legacy throughout the generations of Klal Yisrael. And what we get is a fortification, a power, a shmira, and a koach against the Misyavnim that reappear in all the times and in all the generations. All the lights of Chanukah, we talk about Chanukah as the Or of Chanukah, the light of the Purkan from Yavan, the freedom and the salvation from Yavan, were set in place for all generations, not just for that generation, through the Moed of Chanukah. The Purkan itself of Chanukah is from the Shibud to the Misyavnim. The Shibud means that we are impacted and undermined by the Misyavnim in all generations. And how do we fight back? What secret code do we have? What is the legacy that was granted to us through the generations by the Chashmonaim to battle against the Misyavnim in all Doros? The answer is Chanukah, Miloshen Chinuch, Chinuch LeDoros. We have a legacy that's passed down, father to son, transmitted through the generations. We go on this new derech of facing these trials, these nisyonos. It began when the first Misyavnim appeared on the platform of history, but the derech is something that is so ingrained in us in every generation. The pasuk says, "Chanoch lenar al pi darko, gam ki yazkin lo yosu mimeno." We have to inculcate chinuch into our children. We have to fortify them with the strength, with those same kochos of shmir and hagana that were created, that came into this world through the period of the Chashmonaim, when the Jews faced the challenges and the nisyonos of Shmad, and they successfully, the tzaddikim and the tzidkonios, is vayakilo yuchalo. Our enemies were not successful in undermining us because we were dedicated, even at the expense of mesiris nefesh mamish, to be loyal and never to succumb to the gzeiros of Shmad. Those powers that the Jewish people brought to the fore at the time of the Chashmonaim are the powers of Chinuch that we, throughout our generations, as part of the people of Israel, will use and utilize and implement to educate our children. And with that fortification and power that we educate our children, Emir Tzashem will be able to battle and hold our own against all the nisyonos, succeed against all the trials and tribulations, until finally we'll reach the day of Kizarchalo Hashemesh, of the Oz, when Yaakov will be Sholem, when the name of Yisrael will be complete and will be permanent. The name of Yaakov is gone, the incomplete nature of the Nitzachon of Yaakov is history, and now in its place we have Yisrael. Yisrael representing perfection. Afal pi shechata Yisraeli, that every single last rank and file citizen Jew, everyone that's marching with us, will be a strength and a pride to Klal Yisrael. We will be able to completely decimate the Misyavnim and the Gzeres of the Yevanim, and it will be a great Simcha of Or. B'mheirav Yomenu, Ken Yiratzon Amen.